I want to invite you to open your Bibles this evening to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. But as you're turning there, I want to pose some questions that revolve around this age-old question, one of the hardest questions of why. And here are those questions. Why is it that some hear and study the Word of God and become faithful Christians when others reject it? Why is it that some who become Christians stray away? Why is it that some Christians grow to maturity while others remain babes in Christ? Why is it that some grow stagnant in their faith and others thrive? In seeking answers to these questions, I want us to familiarize ourselves again with a very familiar story. Listen to it. Listen. Listen is a key word. In Mark's account, Mark 4 and verse 3, the first word as Jesus tells this familiar parable is listen or behold. He's saying pay attention. And then right after he tells this parable, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning, he says, "He who has ears, let him hear." The idea is he wants us to hear it, right? Hearing is a serious matter. It's not to be taken lightly. Watch out how you hear is the keynote to this parable. But as we look at it, consider the setting in the first two verses of Mark chapter 4. The picture in the background of the PowerPoint is called the Cove of the Sower. The Cove of the Sower. This is the site traditionally believed to be the site where Jesus spoke this parable, the parable of the sower, hence the cove of the sower. Look, as you consider this scene, notice these two verses. Again, Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables. So the scene is the people are thronging about Jesus, wanting to see him, perhaps to see another miracle that he might perform. But the crowd is so great he has to get into a fishing boat and push away from the land. And no doubt one of the reasons why this particular site was believed to be perhaps the place where Jesus spoke this parable is that there's this hill, and if you imagine multitudes sitting on that hill listening to Jesus as he teaches. If we could zoom the camera out some, we might even see some places around this cove where perhaps a farmer could be seen walking through the fields sowing seed, throwing seed into the soil to his right hand and to his left. Again, this is the traditional site where that boat became Jesus' pulpit on this occasion. And he begins this parable by saying, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." And perhaps as Jesus is telling this parable, the people can look and see, and perhaps Jesus is even pointing to this farmer sowing seed in a field nearby. And he begins to talk about different types of soil. Mark 4, verse 4. "It happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it." The wayside soil, or the path, this would simply be the walkway where the farmer or others would travel. And so because it was well traveled, that soil would be packed and the seed wouldn't be able to penetrate it. And so it became food for the birds that were observant. And they would come and eat these seeds. Verse 5 and 6, some seed fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Many times, I'm afraid, what comes to our minds is soil that has a lot of rocks in it. But really, what is being described here is soil that has is a very thin layer with a ledge of rock beneath. And so the soil is very shallow. And so when the seed, if there's recent moisture, it would hold it there. And also the heat of the sun would warm the soil. And those conditions would make it very receptive for a seed quickly sprouting and even growing into a plant. But when the heat of the sun beat upon those seedlings, those tender plants, because their roots could not penetrate down to receive the nutrients that these plants needed, they would wither and die. That's the stony ground or the rocky places. Mark 4, verse 7, some seed, Jesus says, fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And we're all familiar with what weeds, what thistles and thorns can do. And it seems that they can grow splendidly when we're wanting grass to grow. And it's the same with farmers. And I spent a couple of summers hoeing weeds on cotton farms. And I know how plenteous those weeds can get, even in West Texas, in dry West Texas. I found that weeds can thrive even in that area. Even to the point where in some rows, I'd have to dismount off of my three-wheeler and begin to walk because the weeds had just grown up so much that it choked the cotton plants that had been planted. Jesus says, some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Verse 8, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. From what I've read, this would really capture the ears of those listening because they were all familiar with farmers and how they would sow seed. But for those who are listening to Jesus, if he'd have said, this crop produced 20-fold, that would have been an abundant crop. That 20-fold, 20 bushels of wheat, for example, for every bushel of seed sown, would have been a tremendous return. But Jesus says some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. This would be amazing, unbelievable growth in the ears of those who heard Jesus say these things. Mark 4, verse 9, Jesus said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Imagine those, if that cove of the sower was the site where Jesus pulled away from shore in this boat and began to tell this story. And perhaps he's even pointing out to a sower, a farmer who is sowing seed. These hearers would be very familiar with this. And some would say, yes, Jesus, I know all of what you said makes a lot of sense. But we understand, because we're so familiar with this parable, that Jesus, there's a point to this. There's lessons to be learned. In fact, as we go on and consider the sermon, the application that Jesus makes, we find in between Jesus' disciples ask him questions about why he speaks in parables. And Jesus responds in verse 13, do you not understand this parable, the parable of the sower? How then will you understand all the parables? And so here's one of the parables that Jesus takes the time to explain. Mark 4, verse 14, the sower sows the word. So the seed in the Jesus parable, his story that is being sown by the farmer, represents the word of God. And so the four types of soil that Jesus has mentioned, what do they represent? They represent the hearts of the hearers. Before we proceed, think about these questions again. Why is it that some hear and study the word of God, and they become faithful Christians, and others hear the same word of God and they reject it? Why is it that some who become Christians stray away and others remain faithful? Why is it that some Christians grow to maturity while others remain babes in Christ? And why is it that some grow stagnant in their faith and others seem to thrive? And I believe the answer is that it often has to do with the heart of the hearer. The heart of the one who is hearing the Word of God taught or preached or even read. Jesus compares hearts to various types of soil in which the seed of God's Word is sown. Now, you, I'm taking for granted, are very familiar not only with the parable, but with Jesus' application. But I want to approach it a little bit differently. I want us to consider it in light of this question, or this theme: how to cultivate your heart for a spiritual harvest. We want to have that spiritual harvest. We want to be that good soil that receives the seed of God's Word and produces much fruit. In fact, produces even 100-fold. We want to be fruitful Christians. So how do we cultivate our hearts for a spiritual harvest? Number one, we got to plow the soil. We got to plow the soil. Think about that wayside soil again. Listen to Jesus' explanation. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So that wayside soil, the path, that beaten path, that packed soil that was hardened so that it couldn't receive the seed, that literal seed, Jesus says that represents hearts that are hardened that won't receive the Word of God. And because it can't penetrate that heart, then Satan comes along and takes away that Word, lest it be sown in their hearts. This, Jesus says, represents those hard-hearted hearers. These are those people whose lifestyles, whose systems of priorities, whose predetermined sets of values get in the way of responding to the good news of the kingdom. They represent the hearts of those that just won't hear. That when they hear the parable of the sower, for example, it just sounds like, well, that, of course that's the way it happens. They don't see the spiritual truths behind them because their hearts are hardened. They may be distracted by the things of this world. They may be resistant to spiritual things to the point of, like the Pharisees, they're arrogant and proud and they turn away. They ridicule spiritual things. It can represent hearers who hear something and immediately think of how it may apply to other people and not themselves. Reminds me of the preacher that it was a very stormy day and to the point where there was only two that made it to the church building on this day. And the one that made it to church services that day was one that would often tell the preacher when the preacher was shaking them out, you know what that means, shaking hands as people left the building, he would say, "You sure preached to them today, preacher. You sure preach to them today, preacher." And so the preacher thought, well, here's an opportunity. I'm going to be able to speak to this brother directly. And after he preached hard and shared some things that he thought might benefit this brother, when he was through and when he's shaking this single brother out, he said, "Preacher, that was a great sermon. I wish they would have been here to hear that one." Sometimes it can be that we're so closed-hearted, closed-minded, that we think how it might apply to other people when we don't consider how it might apply to ourselves. Question: what do farmers do to hard ground that won't receive the seed? They plow it. If we want to produce a spiritual harvest, we got to plow the soil. How do you plow the soil of our hearts? Here are some things I think would help plow the soil. Number one is for each and every one of us to truly seek God. To seek God. to truly want to know God and to know His will. I thought about Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When we really want to seek God and to know God and we approach His word with that mindset, we're plowing the soil so that the seed of God's word can penetrate. I would also suggest that we study prayerfully in order to plow the soil. That we approach the scriptures prayerfully. We are asking God to help us to understand, to know Him better, to know His will for our lives. And we approach the word in a prayerful manner. Thirdly, we examine the evidence. The Bible claims inspiration. And so we need to investigate it honestly. And for those who are not familiar with the Word and whose hearts are hardened, they need to be open enough to examine the evidences that abound that this Word, the Bible, is indeed the Word of God. But also to plow the soil of our hearts, we needed it to examine ourselves. James talks about looking into the mirror of God's Word in James chapter 1. And really examining ourselves. If we will approach the Word of God that way, and we're studying not just for facts, not just for lists of things we might recite, words we might memorize, but we're not only seeking God, we're looking at ourselves in the mirror. That's really going to help us plow the soil of our hearts. So tonight, if you haven't been growing spiritually, is it because your heart is hard and the seed can't penetrate it? We got to plow the soil. Number two, we got to put down roots. Look at what Jesus says about the stony ground. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word of God immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. You see, Jesus is talking about hearts that receive the word initially, gladly. And it might refer to those who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and make application, and they become Christians. But when it gets tough, when some kind of persecution arises, or when some difficult circumstance arises in their lives, their faith is so shallow that they can't navigate through those things. Their roots don't go down deep enough to withstand the storms of tribulation or the impact of persecution. And so what we need to do is to put down roots. As one writer says, the real reason that so many Christians wilt when they face the scorching heat of trials and tribulations is that they have shallow root systems. So we got to put down roots. How do we do that? We must draw near to God. We must draw near to God. Our study of the Word of God can't be some purely academic exercise. It must be to want to know God, to know Him personally, and to know His will for our lives. And we want to draw near to God, and so we approach our study of the Word as God is speaking to us through His Word. That's how we get to know God. And so we draw near to Him. And as we do so, we're putting down roots. A second thing we do is we cling to God's promises that He reveals to us in His Word. Promises like this, John 16:33. Jesus said to His troubled disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now think about Jesus' disciples. He's told them that He's about to leave. And where He's going, they cannot come at that time. And they're troubled by this. That's their master. That's their teacher. And he's about to depart. And they're not going to be able to go with him. And so they're distraught. And he's telling them, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Because in the world you will have tribulation." And folks, that's true for you and for me. In the world, folks, you will have troubles. God never promised us that we would not have troubles. What does God promise us? That in Him we can have peace. That He has overcome the world. That the troubles that we will experience in the world are not enough to defeat us ultimately. But if we cling to Him and cling to His promises, we can withstand. The reason that we can stand is because we're clinging to His promises that helps us dig down and put down deeper roots. A third thing to help us put down roots is we must never define God's love by the trials of this life. Don't define God's love by the trials of this life. You want to define God's love? Listen to this definition. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You want to define God's love? That's the definition. It doesn't mean that when we love God and God loves us, that He's going to spare us from the troubles of this life. It doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean He has something far better. And that if we'll cling to Him and put down those roots, then we can withstand these trials and tribulations. And we have something far better. A relationship with Him that gives us peace no matter what's going on in our lives. And a relationship with Him that assures us of a better place to come. We got to plow the soil. We got to put down roots if we want a spiritual harvest. Thirdly, we got to pull the weeds. We got to pull the weeds. Verses 18 and 19, Jesus explains the thorny ground. "These are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." As you look at those things that Jesus says represent the thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, I want us to note in those, there are some things that are just not right in and of themselves. That they're completely wrong. But also in these things, there are some things that are good. And the reason I point that out, listen to this statement by Neil Lightfoot. "It's not that earthly things are necessarily bad in themselves. Many times they are not. Good things can occupy a person's time as well as the bad. And more often than not, it is these good things that drain our energies and turn our hearts away from Christ." It can be something good in and of itself that can choke out the word in our lives because we're not placing the proper focus on spiritual things. Neil Lightfoot defines a thorn like this. A thorn is anything that crowds Jesus out of our lives. So in order for that seed to be planted in our hearts and to produce fruit to a spiritual harvest, we got to pull the weeds. What does that mean? It would mean that we prioritize our relationship with God. As we highlighted this morning, Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Pulling the weeds means we prioritize our relationship with God. But secondly, it means that we root out anything that interferes with our relationship with God. That will definitely include anything evil. But folks, it may also include some things that are good, but are getting too much attention in our lives. An idol is anything that separates us from God. An idol can be something good, but it still separates us from God. We got to pull the weeds. Number four, we've got to plant and sow the seed of God's Word. The three gospel accounts explain the meaning of the good ground, and I want to highlight Jesus' explanation in Matthew, Mark, and Luke as we seek to understand what is this good heart, the good soil. Matthew 13, Jesus says, "He who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30." Highlight here, the good hearer understands the word. He hears it, he follows it through from beginning to end. He doesn't stop thinking about it until he understands the message, the application, the intent of the parable, for example. It no longer is a story. It has meaning, it has application in our lives. That's a characteristic of the good ground. Mark 4, verse 20. Jesus says, "These are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word of God, accept it or receive it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100." Underscore the word accept or receive. They receive the word. And that means they take it in and it becomes a part of them. It's implanted. Makes me think of what James says. It's the implanted word which is able to save your souls. We don't just read it and allow it to immediately leave our minds, but it stays there. We mull over it. We think about it. And we keep pondering it until it becomes a part of us. That's good soil. Luke 8, verse 15. Here's Jesus' explanation from Luke's account. "The ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Two things I want to highlight here. Number one, they keep it. They keep it. They obey it. They apply it. Not only that, they bear fruit with patience. That's New King James Version. If you do a study of that word patience there, it's not this passive idea of patience, but it's more perseverance. They bear fruit with perseverance. By persevering, NIV states it, by persevering, they produce a crop. So this describes a heart who receives the word of God, understanding it, make application, and they persevere in it. And by that, they don't expect a harvest overnight. The seed is sown. It takes time to grow. And so they continue to think about its application, to mull over it, to meditate upon it, to find application of the truth to their lives. And they persevere in it. And by so doing, they experience the harvest. Summing it up, we must plant the seed. By seeking to understand it, by receiving it into our hearts, and by persevering in it. And what's the promise? Jesus says, and again, he really grabs the hearers when he says that the crop may be 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold, which is an astounding amount. It's a magnificent response. But Jesus says, that's what can happen when the soul is right, when the heart is right. That's what the implanted word can produce. So why is it that some can hear the word of God and become faithful Christians and others reject it? Why is it that some who become Christians remain faithful, others stray away? Why is it that some Christians grow to maturity while others seem to just stay at the infant stage, spiritually speaking? Why is it that some grow stagnant in their faith while others thrive? It often has to do with the heart of the hearer. People will respond to the message of Jesus differently. It depends on their hearts. So as we have examined this very familiar parable, I'm sure, to all of us, the question still remains, what kind of soul am I? What kind of heart do I have? Has the Word been producing fruit in my life? If not, why not? Has my heart been hardened? Have I allowed other things to choke it out? Even good things? Or has my root system been so shallow that it seems when trouble comes, the first thing that goes is God out of my life? What kind of soil am I? Let's plow the soil. Let's pull the weeds. Let's put down roots. Let's plant the seed and allow it to bring about a marvelous spiritual harvest in our lives. What kind of soil would represent your heart tonight? It may be hardened, but it can be plowed. It may have grown a lot of weeds, but those weeds can be removed. But it takes a decision on our part that we want to have receptive hearts to the Word. And it may be that your heart is receptive this evening and you're ready to implant that Word in your heart and allow it to issue forth in obedience, even obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight, to be baptized as a penitent believer into Christ so that your sins can be washed away. It may mean for those of us who have done those things that we need to continue to plow the soil. We need to continue to pull some weeds out of our lives because we want that good soil that's going to continue to receive the seed and produce the fruit that God desires. If you need the prayers of the church to that end, or if you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus tonight, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.